Thank you. Yeah, one thing we tell our producers is we know we're going to have drought. It's just, you know, not if but when, because we can guarantee that in dry western Nebraska. And the X here is where I'm at in North Platte, Nebraska, but we also have research labs out in that purple X out there. And then we just got a farmer that deeded us another a section of land there where the lighter blue is and so forth for research. So we're set up pretty good to do research. And this was kind of interesting. North Platte's among the driest places in the country. And, you know, it says the home of Buffalo Bill Cody went 365 days without recording more than an inch of rain on a given day and so forth. You can see that how dry it can be in North Platte, Nebraska. We look at that, we've had some drought over the years, you know, in like 2000 and 2003, 2002, and then 2012 and 2013, quite a bit, about half of what our average is at North Platte. This shows Lake McConaughey, a big reservoir there in western Nebraska in 2004. It's the lowest it ever got. Previous to that, it was 1956, but in 2004, it was the lowest it's ever been. And this is what, kind of hard to use that boat ramp there at Lake McConaughey, if you know anything about boating. But boy, you know, 2011, all the snowfall they got up in the Rocky Mountains and so forth, we thought, man, we got it made again because the reservoir's full. In fact, they even had to let out excess water and so forth, and the boat ramp, you know. But a year later, we're right back in it again. Yeah, that's what we got there. So we're used to cropping under drought conditions. Okay, one of the things is, you know, we preach no-till. But I tell our producers, no-till is only half of it. We really need controlled traffic because we get thunderstorms. I know one person this morning mentioned that they don't get thunderstorms and so forth. But we might have a thunderstorm that moves through, it dumps 3 inches of water in an hour and so forth. We want to be able to take that all in. And we can really do it with controlled traffic. And you can see that with soft roads and controlled traffic, look, we can exceed over 4 inches per hour in that. And we got traffic all over the field, even though we got no-till. Boy, those rates really go down. So that's an important part of the concept. Okay, in that same Lake McConaughey area, this was sunflowers in 2005. And the crop wasn't worth even harvesting. He didn't. What was interesting was right in the next field over was this guy with a green corn crop. How can he do it right next door? Well, if you go and look in the field, it looked completely different on the ground. Yeah. And the farmer stopped by when I was looking at it. I always take different roads out in the country and so forth to see what I can learn. I says, what's the history on this field? Well, Bobby says, 2 years ago, I had a good wheat crop. I planted corn last year and had a pretty good corn crop. Then I heard about your skip row corn. Should I thought I'd try it. Another successful, you know, 3 years in a row, the guy across the road couldn't even produce sunflowers. And this was his corn crop. Okay, we wanted to measure some of this residue, so our irrigationist at North Platte, and this was after soybeans. You know, there's not much residue from soybeans, is there? So they went in and raked off the residue. They didn't normally, you know, till it under and so forth. They just raked it off. So they didn't have the moisture loss from tillage, just the residue loss. They planted corn the next year, and then they irrigated according to where there was residue, soybean residue. Well, they found out they really gave up 25 bushel of corn by just raking off that little bit of soybean residue. Almost unbelievable, right? Because there's not much out there. Okay, and I locate a lot of plots and so forth. and went out one spring to locate plots down in the McCook area in southwest Nebraska and found a good stubble field, 18-inch tall stubble. My moisture probe went down 39 inches. It was a pretty dry fall after winter wheat harvest and not much snow over the winter. Crossed over the fence, though, and the stubble wasn't as good, about half as tall. Probe only went down one-third the distance. I always try to throw something in on Nebraska football, right? Yeah. But we're not doing too good. In fact, we had to win Saturday's game with a Hail Mary pass with no time remaining, you know, and we were successful. It bounced off somebody, and one of our players caught it, and that's how we won. So, you know, no, that's not why I wanted to put that in there. When we first started this Equifallow program, a good number of years planting corn in the winter wheat stubble, we had this farmer and his brother-in-law was flying over their fields, and they couldn't figure out why half of this field was greener than the other half. Didn't make any sense because they planted the same hybrid all the way across it, and they fertilized it the same. Everything was the same all the way across it. Well, they landed and went over the field, got looking around, and then they remembered that on half the field they took the straw spreader off and baled the windrow straw. They left the standing stubble, you know, just like you normally would. And the farmer called me, and he says, are you interested in checking yields? And I says, you bet. So we went out and checked yields, and it was a pretty good, this is back in the 70s, dry land corn in dry southwest Nebraska, made 97 bushel. But where he left the straw spreader on, it made 20 bushel more. The farmer said, after we found out that, he says, you know, if I need straw, I should keep mine and buy it from a neighbor down the road who doesn't know how valuable it is. So, yeah. Okay. This is kind of interesting. See the producer out there, and this is this year, 2013. And then this is close up, and then he moves over here. Now, what's the interesting part here? The field was harvested with a 40-foot draper head. It only spread the residue about 20 feet, middle 20. This is what the corn, the good ears, look like in the center 20 feet. But there's no residue spread on the outside. Look at those nubbins. What a difference between the residue. So the key is what residue. This is kind of interesting. This is our wheat plot down Red Willow County in 2006. It planted on what I like the late September. And this is what it looked like a month later. Across the road, this guy really planted early. Yeah, we'll talk more about his later. Okay, we averaged a little bit over 75 bushel and had a couple, you know, in the high 80s there. And the farmer harvested the field with a stripper header. And this is what it looked like. And we planted skip row corn the next year. And this is the ears. And our yield there, as you see, close to 135 bushel with a couple almost 150 bushel corn. Okay, so we didn't do too bad. What do you suppose? This guy planted corn too. Yeah, but he had a problem. His wheat planted early caught every disease, and so he ended up grazing it out. What do you think his corn field yielded? What are they doing over there? This is right across the road. Well, they're cutting it for silage. Yeah. This is the worst question I get. What to do when they cut silage? Because in dry western Nebraska, you're supposed to fallow it and plant wheat the next fall. And if you try to fallow that, you're going to have wind erosion, water erosion, and so forth. So that's the worst question I even get. So if we take field one where we had it, we had 75 bushel wheat, 135 bushel corn. It was a pretty good year, and the farmer went back and planted corn the next year. 135 bushel. That field across the road, they grazed it out, they had silage. He knew he couldn't fallow it, so he planted wheat back that fall, and I went out in the field and estimated 13 bushel wheat. Yeah, what a difference across the road. This is what the field looked like this year. He still hasn't got it together. Across the road, I went and measured the soil moisture. We had our wheat plot and corn plots. And I had a 4-foot probe, and it went all the way down. I should have had a 6-foot probe, but I think he has almost a full probe on the moisture to plant his wheat in this fall. Okay, this is our water resources lab out in the Grant area. And you can see this is our 2012 corn crop. Even though it was so dry, it was a drought year there, but we had 70 bushel plot wheat residue we planted in. And we had good 70 bushel corn. Okay, we had some pretty good snow in that area and caught some rain, and we planted skip row the year before, so I decided to go out and plant corn again. Yeah. And it got pretty well beat up by hail. But we harvested the other day, and the field, with even that hailstorm, averaged 86 bushel. So in 3 years out there, we've got 70 bushel plus wheat, 70 bushel corn last year, and 86 here. Now, it's kind of interesting, because we're planting skip row, the Farm Service Agency just considers us as planting half the field. And so, you know, I got 172 bushel corn out there.
Right.
Okay. Okay. But people love to till, right? This is one of our dealers out there, and he sells loads of tillage equipment. And they like these one-trippers and so forth. And this guy went out, I don't know why, you know, he thought he had to use that piece of equipment, destroying all his residue. This was his 2012 corn crop. This is his 2013. He planted continuous corn. He has no crop those 2 years. Another thing is, you know, we have all this equipment out there, and this guy had beautiful wheat stubble, and then he goes out and puts on fertilizer, liquid fertilizer with it, destroys a lot of residue. I want to keep all that residue. People think they need to clean out that residue. To me, you're just throwing money away, you know. You don't want to do that, bury that residue. And this is what I like to have the field look like, you know, so you can't even tell you planted. And this is where the farmer planted, and you see right next to it is where we planted, not disturbing the residue. This is what the farmers look like, and this is our part of the field. I don't want to disturb any of that residue. And you look at this here, and you see this is kind of an interesting one. You know, basically very poor wheat and tremendous wheat. This is a farmer in a wheat fallow wheat rotation that's been for the past several years always depositing the residue in the same area. And what a difference that residue makes in the organic matter. I think that really, really points it out. And then we've been doing some stuff with the Nebraska Game Commission on the value of tall stubble for both crop production and wildlife. And some work in Kansas showed how valuable it is, a lot more pheasants in the tall stubble. And we was out in Alliance for one of the meetings, and I went out there in a good tall stubble field and to get measurements for soil water, but I couldn't believe the pheasants right on the edge of town that flew out of that field. It was quite impressive. We got time for a quick question or not?
We do.
Okay. Yes.
So what are you using to seed into that tall, or what do you suggest a person would use to seed into that tall stubble? Because
okay. Yeah.
For Western Canada, that we do have growers in the brown soils over there that will use a stripper header, or they'll use maybe one of two headers, maybe a stripper header,
yeah,
to help trap soil, help with residue, keeping some of the residue around. But seeding into it could be a problem, just depending on the row spacing of the drill. So just wondering what
We really like to seed directly into it. Now, one of the things is you can't do it when there's any moisture on that straw. You got to be able to cut that straw. And so we tell our people, you know, in like in planting corn, instead of waiting maybe to the recommended date, if it gets even a couple weeks before, and the weather conditions are such that I can seed my corn or some grain sorghum out there, I'll go out extremely early if the conditions are such and take advantage of that weather. Because with the good seed treatments we have now and the good quality seed, you know, I'm going to put it out there if I can drill it, because we can have problems drilling that stuff or planting into it. So I'm going to take advantage of those. The other thing is, you know, really have your equipment in good shape. That's so important. But I don't want to destroy any of that residue. That's just like money to me.
Thank you, Bob.
Very okay. Nice.